are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is a Monday on the program. Brian Peacock here with you once again. We're going to get into some prospects. Time to continue on with these NFL draft profiles. Today, prospect number two on my board. I wouldn't be surprised if he's number one on some people's boards. Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle out of Alabama. Potentially somebody in play for the 49ers with a number two overall pick. And Riley Ridley, he's one that the listeners had asked about, so I bumped him up the list. We're going with Riley Ridley, wide receiver out of Georgia. So we'll break down those guys. A couple other things I want to talk about 49ers related on today's show, like what to do with Eric Armstead. We had a nice conversation about that on Twitter this weekend, and a lot of varying viewpoints on what to do with Eric Armstead, who's a really good player. So, and you want to keep good players, right? Maybe not with Eric Armstead. We'll see. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. iTunes, Spotify, we are everywhere. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. If there's any time, probably not today. Maybe tomorrow we'll get dipping into that mailbag because there's already a lot of them. A lot of good questions I want to get to. All right, let's start with Eric Armstead. And decisions have to be made on Eric Armstead because he's entering the last year, the fifth year, which is the option year of his rookie contract. And he's going to be paid a nice chunk of change in that option year that the 49ers picked up last offseason. It's still not guaranteed. So they could cut Eric Armstead if they wanted to, or they could trade him and no cap ramifications. But if not, he's got a salary of about $9 million, I think it is, on that fifth year option year. And in this year five of his career, then next year he'll be a free agent. So the 49ers could go a number of routes here. They could just let the year play out, let him hit free agency. They have a lot of depth at that big end position. And I don't think the 49ers would be interested in giving him a long-term deal because of all of that depth. And I think Solomon Thomas is the guy that they would like to take over that position. That's the position they had in mind when they drafted Solomon Thomas, playing that big end role, playing that Michael Bennett role in this defense. But it's been Eric Armstead that kind of won that starting job. And so they've had to move Solomon Thomas around. Solomon Thomas's contract, being that he was a number three overall pick, is in a different place. And it's difficult for them to trade him right now. So to me, that would be, you either want to get that cap number down for Eric Armstead, extend him if he was a guy you wanted to keep around for a long time. But I think what's best for the 49ers potentially, and maybe what's best for Eric Armstead, would be to cash in on his first completely healthy season. And he had a nice season last year for the 49ers in 2018. I think he's an awesome fit for a 3-4 defense, that 3-4 defensive end spot that he was drafted to play for the 49ers when they had a different scheme. He would be a great fit for another team, could cash in potentially on a trade and then restructure his contract, sign an extension, and maybe move some of that money around that he's got coming to him this year to help another team's cap situation, and they extend him. And then he's able to cash in that way on his full season and his very good season. Going to the Pro Football Focus numbers, Eric Armstead, and this is kind of what sparked the Twitter conversation. They put out the top five overall grades in the NFC West for edge players. Now, whether or not Eric Armstead is an edge player or a complete edge player, I think he's sort of outside in. He's a hybrid guy. He was the second highest ranked edge player in the NFC West behind Frank Clark. Frank Clark came in with a grade of 76.7 for the 2018 season. Eric Armstead right behind him, 74.8. And even higher than Chandler Jones for the Arizona Cardinals, who had a 73.2 grade. And, you know, the PFF grades aren't the be-all, end-all of player evaluation, but I think anybody who watched the 49ers thought that Eric Armstead played pretty well, and he impacts the game. He's a better run defender than he is a pass rusher. He kind of lacks that last, you know, step to finish and close on quarterbacks. And so I don't think he's going to be ever a great pass rusher, but he's so powerful. He's got these long arms, and he's just he's really good defeating blocks. And so he creates pressure more than he actually gets sacks, which, you know, pressure is important, and it impacts the other team. So Arik Armstead is a very good player. He had a good year. That's the bottom line there with him. So you're not trying to get rid of good players just because, right? And that's sort of what my point has been with Arik Armstead. I think the 49ers would be doing a disservice to them and to Arik Armstead if they didn't float that around and maybe try to shop him in trade. If you're able to get a decent draft pick out of trading Arik Armstead, I don't think the 49ers defense would take a huge dip to Solomon Thomas. And they've got two rookies from last year. Streets, who's supposed to come back after his torn ACL, and he lost his rookie season. Kentavious Street, the fourth-round draft pick out of NC State. He's a powerhouse player. He's another big end, as is Julian Taylor, who's the seventh-round draft pick, who sort of came out of nowhere and impressed everybody in the preseason. And he got a little bit more run as the season went on as well. Another big end. And Ronald Blair's already kind of a big end. DeForest Buckner's still probably the best big end the 49ers have. And to be honest with you, I think DeForest Buckner might be playing a little bit out of position at 3-tech, but he's so good there, and he's just such a monster that it doesn't really matter where you put him. He's going to be great. I think DeForest Buckner could potentially play the big end spot that Arik Armstead has been playing if, say, the team drafted somebody at defensive tackle like Quinnen Williams. More on that later. But my point is, there's a logjam at that position for the 49ers. As good as Arik Armstead is, maybe the 49ers can cash in with the trade value on Arik Armstead, not fall off because they have so many other good players and so much depth at that position, and then Arik Armstead can cash in by getting that extension with another team rather than going into the last year of his deal, and potentially maybe he has more injuries and that injury bug bites him again next year. Then he doesn't make as much money, and next offseason the 49ers wouldn't get anything for him because they would let him walk in free agency. So that's the thought process to me why the 49ers should be trying to trade Arik Armstead this offseason. But it only makes sense if someone's willing to pony up something, you know, a third or fourth round pick or something like that. The 49ers are short on draft picks. They don't have a fifth rounder this year. It just makes too much sense for the way the roster is currently built. And it makes sense for Arik Armstead. Makes sense for the 49ers. All right, let's move on to some NFL draft profiles. Take a quick break here and then break down Quinnen Williams. Is he the guy the 49ers should be taking at number two overall? Who is Quinnen Williams, you might ask yourself? Defensive tackle out of Alabama. Came out after his redshirt sophomore season in 2018. It was a breakout season for him. 19.5 tackles for loss, 8 sacks. Just a game wrecker of a disruptive interior player on one of the best teams in the country. They have so much talent up front. And to see someone like Quinnen Williams stand out the way he does on that Alabama defensive line is super impressive. Interesting little backstory with Quinnen Williams. He's from Birmingham, Alabama, and he actually had committed to go to the Crimson Tide's rival school in Auburn and then changed his mind, ended up going to Bama, playing for Nick Saban. And he's dealt with some tragedy. His mother passed away from breast cancer in 2010 after battling that disease for years. She was only 38 years old when she passed away. And if you want to read more about that story, there's a really cool article on NFL.com, how Quinnen Williams turned grief into greatness. But he ended up being an amazing player, talented player, overcoming that stuff, going on to the University of Alabama as a big-time recruit, and just had a monster sophomore season before declaring for the draft. He's listed, I've seen him listed between 6'3", 285, and 6'4", 295. Some people say he's going to be over 300 pounds. He looks like he's about a 300-pounder to me. What's special about Quinnen Williams is how he moves at that size. And first of all, I love the name Quinnen Williams, Q-U-I-N-N-E-N. That's not a name I've seen before. And I love prospects that have a uniqueness to them, unique name. Remember when Alex Smith was coming out of the draft? I was like, nope. This guy has to be a bust. He's not even the only Alex Smith in that draft class. Remember the tight end from, I think he got drafted by the Buccaneers, a tight end that also was named Alex Smith in the same 2005 draft class with the quarterback Alex Smith. There's Josh Allen is another one of those this year. Josh Allen quarterback last year, Josh Allen the edge rusher this year. I like that uniqueness of the name Quinnen Williams. Obviously, I'm it's tongue-in-cheek. I'm joking. It doesn't matter what the hell their names are. But I always feel like there's something weird with the prospect when their name is just too basic. You know, I want a name that's unique, that's like there's only one guy who has been or will ever be named Quinnen Williams, right, unless he names his son after himself. But Quinnen Williams has a unique game too, as well as a unique first name. And I mentioned him being a game wrecker. And this guy is impossible to block one-on-one. And look, he had a breakout season in 2018, but he's not a one-year wonder. He's a guy that people have talked about at Alabama. It's like, this is the next great player. I mean, a lot of fans probably didn't know who he was, and I hadn't really seen him before this year, but it was known that this guy was going to be a stud at Alabama for a while until he finally got his shot this year, and he was a monster. And he's like, and one of the things, and you see it a little bit with Nick Bosa, who was my number one prospect, who we already talked about last week. You can go back and find the episode I did talking about Nick Bosa and DK Metcalf. But Quinnen Williams has a lot of things that Nick Bosa has that I really love. And it's power with flexibility. It's great feet and great hands. It's all of that coming together that makes him so difficult to block. And he's so quick off the snap. He played a lot of like a nose tackle position for Alabama. And he just gets off the ball and he's got guys beat already. And he comes off. It's not like he's beating you with finesse. He's coming off with power. He's coming off with like some serious intent to do damage. So he fires off the line of scrimmage, gets an instant advantage there, has a relentless ability about him. He's nonstop. Like he won't quit. And he brings power with his bottom half. He can anchor against blocks. He can anchor against double teams. That's why they put him at the nose at Alabama, even though I think he's more of like a three technique type of player in the NFL. But absolutely an every down player, defends the run just as good as he defends the pass. He ranked a top one or two as a pass rusher and as a run defender for defensive tackles from Pro Football Focus grades in 2018. In fact, he was the highest graded defender completely at PFF in 2018 and the highest graded defensive tackles in the 5-year history of Pro Football Focus's grading of college football. So that tells you what kind of production Quinnen Williams had. And it's not just about how many sacks did you get. This guy is impacting every play. Again, like Nick Bosa, it's one of the things I talked about with him. One of the things I love about Nick Bosa, why Bosa and Quinnen Williams, to me, are in their own tier at the very top of this draft class. And I think there's a little bit of a drop to the next prospect at number three. And so it's nice that the 49ers have a top two pick. The difficulty with Quinnen Williams, obviously, is the position he plays in. There's already a guy by the name of DeForest Buckner that's playing that three-tech spot for the 49ers. And we already talked about Eric Armstead in the first segment of this show and how much depth the 49ers have with big people on that defensive line and less with the speed guys coming off the edge. So obviously, the need is not there for Quinnen Williams, but the talent is. And that's why I've been an advocate of drafting Quinnen Williams. If Bosa goes number one and you can't trade out, take the best player. And right now, to me, that is Quinnen Williams. So we talk about his get off the line of scrimmage. He comes quickly. He comes with a burst. He comes with awesome hand usage too, which is so important. So he's able to control his man with his hands. He's able to swim his way around guys. He's able to knock their hands away and reset his own hands. So he's got that leverage advantage one. Seen him put guards into the quarterback's lap with just pure power and pure bull rush. And he has a feel too. He has a certain feel for the game where he can get off blocks. He knows where the ball carrier is and he can go get the ball carrier because he has that kind of athleticism and quicks in that short area. So he makes a ton of plays at or behind the line of scrimmage. He can hold up against double teams. He can two gap. He can one gap. He can shoot the gap. He can penetrate. He can beat you with power. He can beat you with quickness and finesse. He can beat you with technique and hand usage. Altogether, he just can beat you in so many ways for a young player, a redshirt sophomore who hasn't played that much college football. He's ahead of his time as far as that goes and just an explosive player. He closes with a burst as a tackler. Some scouting terms are dumb, but the dancing bear, I think, fits what Quinnen Williams is. He's going to be right around 300 pounds, maybe 295, something like that, 6'3", 6'4", whatever it is fine. Like, he's got plenty of size. I mean, he's a perfect translation to a three technique in the NFL. The 49ers obviously have a three technique. So how would Quinnen Williams fit in with the 49ers defense? Let's say the 49ers, like I said in segment one, traded away Arik Armstead. And then at number two overall, Nick Bosa goes one. They can't trade down. They draft Quinnen Williams with the second pick in the draft. So what would the rotation look like? What would that defense look like? Well, to me, what I would do is I would have Quinnen Williams as that three technique in base defense. I would put DeForest Buckner at strong side defensive end in base. I would have DJ Jones be that nose tackle, but I think he's going to get a chance to be the starting nose tackle in base for the 49ers defensive line. And then I have Solomon Thomas being the Leo, the weak side defensive end in base. And almost every one of their positions would change, I think, in sub packages for me. So in sub, you would have Quinnen Williams, DeForest Buckner inside right next to each other, just wrecking offensive coordinators' game plans from the inside. And that would be unbelievable and dynamic. Rotating in would be Solomon Thomas. Solomon Thomas would have to play a little outside. He could rotate in and do some defensive tackle work as well. Then the question would be, who are your outside edge rushers? And in that scenario, that's why this scenario gets difficult. And I understand why people don't want to draft Quinnen Williams, because the 49ers need that edge position. And they do. So they would have to go drafting in rounds two and three, draft some edge guys. They would have to draft some speed if they could. Maybe move up from early two to late one to nab the right guy. Say, Jakai Polite, if he falls in the draft. You've got free agency. Go out there and spend some money. And not knowing where you're going to, not knowing who's going to be there, you don't know if Nick Bosa is going to be there for you in the draft. So you kind of have to go into free agency and try to add a pass rusher. So maybe they do that there. And then there's your edge third down guys that are going to get into the quarterback to go with the 49ers' current group of guys that should be more rotational for them. So that's what it would look like with Quinnen Williams. I think he's a fine fit. He would probably play, you know, like a nickel nose position when the 49ers were in sub packages, which is most of the time. So, you know, 60 to 70% of the time, you would have Quinnen Williams and DeForest Buckner playing inside, Buckner playing basically the same role he's always been playing. And then you would have the nickel nose basically being Quinnen Williams. And you could move both those guys around. You could move Buckner anywhere. I mean, DeForest Buckner is 6'7", 300 pounds. He's a freak of nature himself. He's a unicorn. He's not like some prototype three technique. I've seen that thrown out there a lot. And it's a little bit frustrating because he's really good playing that three tech position, but he wasn't like built to play that position. You know, he was drafted as a 3-4 defensive end because that's what he's built to do. And it's the most obvious, you know, big end is what he is when you're 6'7", 290, 300 pounds, something like that. And so you could absolutely move DeForest Buckner around and utilize his skill set to best help your football team. He doesn't have to be just pigeonholed into some three technique position that he has been playing the last couple of years, even though he's been playing at a super high level and he's an all pro. He's a Pro Bowl player, but that he doesn't need to be pigeonholed into that. He's not some prototype three tech. So that's why I think this all could fit together. There are reasons not to draft Quinnen Williams for the 49ers at number two. To me, DeForest Buckner is not one of those reasons. All right, let's keep this rolling with another draft profile wide receiver, Riley Ridley, right after this. So a lot of the prospects I've gone over so far this draft season have had family roots in the NFL. Riley Ridley is no different. His brother, you might know him. He had a breakout season for the Atlanta Falcons last year. First round draft pick wide receiver Calvin Ridley, who went to Alabama, by the way. His little brother Riley went to Georgia for some reason. I don't know. I don't know how Nick Saban missed out on that one. There are some similarities between Riley Ridley and his older brother, Calvin. I think they were both really good route runners coming out of college, and that's definitely going to be the number one strength I talk about here with Riley Ridley. Riley might not be as fast as Calvin. Calvin Ridley last year at the Combine ran a 4.43 40 and some really good other numbers, a sub-7-second three-cone drill, 6.88 three-cone drill, which is really fast. And so quickness and long speed Calvin Ridley had. He was not as big, though. I think he's listed at 6'1", 189. I think Calvin was just a little bit under 6'1". Riley has been listed as 6'2", 200 pounds, and also somewhat thin-framed like his brother, but definitely more length and more size, but but not quite as fast of a player. I mean, I could see Riley Ridley running in the 4.4s. I don't think he'll run as fast as 4.43 like his brother did, but he's got some explosive movements. And that's what I love about Riley Ridley is explosive. The way he bursts out of his stance from the line of scrimmage, the way he puts pressure on defensive backs with the way he runs routes. It's one of those guys where you watch him play and you can kind of hear it. You know, he's got like that grunt as he's changing. He's like, it's explosive. It's powerful. He's like, you know, when he's making that cut and getting into his route. And he's a really good separator. He's a really good route runner. And I think he's definitely going to be one of those guys that is a Kyle Shanahan player. And Kyle Shanahan likes a lot of smaller players because of how they can separate. And he likes speed. And obviously the 49ers as a team have valued speed since John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan showed up. I think a lot of the things that Kyle Shanahan liked about Dante Pettis last year, he's going to like some of those same things about Riley Ridley. And I don't know if he's going to actually weigh in at 6'2", 200 pounds. I think he could be close to 200 pounds. Might be just a hair under 6'2". Not sure. We'll see at the combine how big Riley Ridley actually is. But he plays pretty big. And I think it's you can really reference that with his statistical output, which is not huge because they had to just spread the ball around to so many receivers. And a lot of the running game is a big part of Georgia's offense in football. So he only had 43 catches last year, 559 yards, but he had 9 touchdowns in those 43 catches. So red zone player, and I think that's exciting. And I think he's also a chain mover because of the way he can use his size and the way he can separate with his size. And like I mentioned, that burst. I love the way he bursts out of his route and makes his cut. That's definitely his number one strength for me when I'm talking about Riley Ridley. And then he's got a well-rounded game as well. You know, he can go up and get the ball in a crowd. He's got good hands. He's got good body control. So, you know, natural catcher, it looks like. So all of those things that you want to see in a wide receiver, he has all of these things. He doesn't hit home runs like his brother does as much as far as deep down the field, you know, hitting a bunch of go routes or catch and run type stuff, because Calvin Ridley was pretty good after the catch. I think he was pretty explosive with the ball in his hands. Riley Ridley doesn't have that much, but he can be, I think, a big play player and go get the ball down the field. He's got plenty of speed to put pressure on the defense, and I think part of it, again, as I mentioned, is that Georgia offense, and he just didn't get utilized as much as his talent says he should have been used. And I think that's why the obvious comparison with Riley Ridley is a guy who was drafted in the second round a few years ago. In right about the range, I think Riley Ridley is going to be taken in this draft, and that is Michael Thomas when he came out of Ohio State and turned out to be an unbelievable professional wide receiver with the Saints. And, you know, getting ball going from the offense that they were running at Ohio State to going to the Saints and having Drew Brees as your quarterback, you know, that's night and day. So I think there's a chance that Riley Ridley has that sort of a jump where he's a better professional football player than he was in college just because of what team he ends up on. And that's why that comparison to Michael Thomas, who was not used very much his last year in college, but you could tell on tape, you could watch him play and you're like, oh, this guy's really good. I mean, maybe I didn't know he was going to be as good as he is in the NFL, but you could tell it was like, okay, he's very underutilized in college. And that's what it's been like for Riley Ridley. And a lot of mouths to feed, and they've got Terry Godwin, Mecole Hardman are good receivers who are going to be in this draft as well. And, of course, the running game at Georgia. So they definitely did not pepper Riley Ridley with as many targets as you would expect for a player with his skill set. Negatives to his game, well, a lot of the negatives is just the production. I mean, even last year, only 43 catches for 559 yards. The 9 touchdowns are great. But his freshman and sophomore years, he was an early entry junior after this last season, he only had 6 games and 8 games his freshman and sophomore year, so he didn't jump out on campus and become a big-time player right away. He only had a combined 500 yards the first 2 years, 238 and 218, 12 catches and 14 catches in his first 2 seasons. So wasn't a phenom showing up on campus like a lot of the things I'm seeing from him, but I think production is definitely one of the knocks. We'll see how big he actually is. Is he actually that 6'2 player? Can he be someone who could be a true red zone weapon as well as someone who could help you out between the 20s and get open and move the chains for you? Because I think he has that skill set and the ability to get open, and having a little bit of size would absolutely help for the 49ers. I think he could fit right into that Z wide receiver position that looks like it's going to be wide open with the news that Pierre Garçon's option is not going to be picked up. So essentially he's going to be cut from the 49ers. They've got a gaping hole there for that that starting Z wide receiver position is up for grabs. Kyle Shanahan saying that he envisions Dante Pettis and Marquise Goodwin fighting it out for that X wide receiver spot on the other side. Another knock about Riley Ridley is that he pretty much all lined up in one spot. A lot of these other wide receivers in the draft moved around a bunch in the slot, left side, right side. DK Metcalf was always lined up on the left side. Riley Ridley was pretty much always lined up as the right wide receiver. And so you would have liked to see more varied looks there, see him run routes from different spots and be used in different ways offensively. So not used in a ton of different ways and not used, period, that much at Georgia as he should have been for his talent level. So I think those are some of the knocks right now on Riley Ridley. He's a little long-legged. That might be, I mean, although he runs great routes, so the short area stuff is not affected by his long-leggedness, especially once he's already into his route and breaking at the end of his route stem and getting into his route. That's fine. Maybe off the line, it might affect him a little bit, but I like the way he jumps out of his stance as well from the line. So a really good player. There's enough question marks there to that I think will definitely hold him out of the first round. The question is, would he even be around at the top of the third round? How's he going to run, and is he a legit 6'2", 200 pounds? Those are the questions I have about Riley Ridley. As with a lot of these wide receivers, and there's definitely a cluster that could get busted up at the combine, so how big is he actually and how he works out, I think we'll have a lot to say about where he's drafted. Right now, he would be among my top five wide receivers, someone definitely on the radar for that number 36 overall pick. The top of the second round, I think, is about right for Riley Ridley, and we'll see if he wows at the combine and starts to put himself more in the round one conversation. But right now, I think, you know, round two feels about right. And with the way this draft is going, with how many players there are and how many good wide receivers there are in this super deep draft class, maybe even top of the third round is where there might be some insane value at wide receiver if the 49ers are able to go or forced because of different needs or different value of other positions and players that are on the board still at the top of the second round. Maybe they could wait around to the top of the third and still get a really good starting caliber wide receiver. Maybe even Riley Ridley would be there. All right, gone long enough today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. That's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Keep those mailbag questions coming in to me on Twitter at BDPeacock or email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com, and we'll dip into that mailbag tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.